Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 83 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou, who over-enunciated the word podcast a moment ago. Not sure why I did that. How's it going? How you doing? It's a new week. It's a new day. It's freezing cold outside.
It is cold.
We had some really nice weather last weekend.
That's over.
It? Yeah. It was in the 60s, yeah. Mid-60s. Almost. Actually, we had some days that were right up around 70, and now it's 30.
Right. And this morning when I took the dogs out, it was like 20.
Yeah, it's really cold again. But hopefully this is the last of this. But I have a mind to go and find that groundhog and punch him in the nose. Because he said we were going to have an early spring. Yeah. For the first time in like forever. Can you even really remember the last time that happened?
You give credence to the groundhog?
Depends on which one you're talking about. I'm talking about Punxsutawney Phil. you know, I'm a big Sonny and Cher fan. So yeah, I got to go with Phil. So what's going on?
I don't get that.
Groundhog Day?
Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, the song that was playing on the radio every morning.
Oh, that's a stretch.
Yeah, well, for those paying attention, I'm sure they were chuckling in the aisles right now. So, what's going on over there?
Just
bubonic plague?
Cough?
No? Black
maybe
Death?
Maybe it's the chill in the air.
It could be the chill in the air. So what do we got in terms of, you know, listener mail communications?
Well, let's see. Gene has stated that Fringe needs fan help. Low ratings may get it canceled.
Yeah, we can't let that happen. It is seriously a phenomenal show, and I'm still waiting for you to continue watching.
I have watched another episode.
You did? I know. But you got to like keep going.
I know. It was just day before yesterday.
Because when you first started watching it, you asked me if it ever gets serialized, and
I can tell by the episode I just watched that it's
going
to start.
Yeah. I was going
to
say, not only does it get serialized, but you find out like two or three seasons later that even the standalone episodes all had to do with.
But I have to tell you, I watched the first few episodes as I was like in bed and I would kind of doze in and out of them. And so watching, like, I believe I watched the fourth episode the other day, I kind of forgot some of the stuff that happened in the first three and I was a little confused.
Do you remember specifically?
We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
It's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, people like Fringe, you know.
Yeah, but I don't like my stupidity.
Lack of memory.
Yeah.
Okay.
To be highlighted on the show.
Not a problem. Should we talk about music?
We're going to talk a little about music here. Mike says that It May Get Loud may be the documentary that disproves Lou's argument that all documentaries have a point of view. It is actually on Netflix Instant Streaming, so
have you watched it?
No.
Okay. It's a documentary about the effect of the electric guitar on music.
Uh-huh.
From the viewpoint of several great guitar players, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Featuring
Jimmy Page, The Edge, Jack White, and more.
I don't know who Jack White is.
White Stripes.
Aha! Yeah. Okay.
I don't think White Stripes are over, aren't they, Brendan?
Just broke up.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. You've heard it nowhere else, except from wherever Brendan heard it.
Mike also stated, boldly, that Selena Gomez, actress on Wizards of Waverly Place, is a show on the Disney Channel, and his daughters watch it. Sure, Mike.
What?
Well, when we were talking last week about people to play Lara Croft, and I was saying that we don't really know most of today's young Hollywood starlets.
Oh, was she one of them?
She was one that I named.
Okay.
As, like, we didn't really know who she was, but Mike was showing that he knew who she was, and
everyone's trying to get in on this action in terms of trying to figure out who the next Lara Croft should be played by.
Uh-huh.
And they even did it in Entertainment Weekly. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that.
Okay, here's the thing. She has to be British.
She doesn't have to be.
Yes, she does. There is no shortage of, you know, attractive British actresses. There's no reason to cast this.
Really? There's not?
No, there isn't.
Okay, you got Keira Knightley.
Come on.
I'm stuck.
Just because you don't know them doesn't mean there aren't any. But I mean, you know, there's no reason that a role like that should be cast by somebody who isn't natively that demographic.
What about Bridget Jones?
I disagree with that casting.
But she was good in it.
I did not think so.
Yeah.
I didn't like those movies.
Her eyes were still slightly open.
No, that's absolutely not true. They were closed for most of those. I didn't like those movies. I didn't think they were that good.
I thought the first one was all right. Second one is terrible.
I didn't see the second one because I didn't like the first one.
Oh. Well, that would be good because the second one was far inferior.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it when that happens. I mean, I don't, you know, it's one thing if you have an actor cast, you know, to play an actor with an accent that is not naturally theirs, when it's just a supporting character or whatever. Even like in the TV show Chuck, as you know, Sarah is played by an Australian actress, but she plays an American. And that's fine because she established that character. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not a character that's already been established as, you know, a British act, a young British woman. So I just feel like in a role like that, that you should cast from England somebody to play the part.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I'm just saying.
What'd you think of the that one article I sent you when one of their suggestions was Zoe Saldana? That's kind of going off the track.
Yeah, and I just I don't see that as necessary. That right. to me seems like stunt casting.
Right.
Oh, we're so open-minded that we'll cast anyone. Maybe even Eddie Izzard. You know, it's like
I'd pay money to see that.
That would actually be kind of funny.
I have to. that's what we.
Now, is that the iPad 2? Have you gotten the iPad 2?
I have not. You know, I actually went to the Apple store the other day to buy it because they had told me on Monday they were getting some in on Tuesday. So the Apple store by me opens at 9. I got there at 10 after 9, and there was a line of like 100 people already in the store.
Wow. So and how many were they getting?
Walked right back
just
out.
Like,
I have no idea.
Not enough. So it's not available.
I don't need it right away.
Yeah.
I just want it before I go to Europe.
Yeah. No. What is the thing? Is it the camera?
Yeah.
Okay.
For FaceTime.
FaceTime?
Yeah.
Who are you going to do that with?
Whoever. I'll do it with you.
I don't have one of those things.
No, but you can do it on your Mac.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he owns a Mac, folks.
Let me explain. I have the Mac.
You don't
simply
have to explain.
No, I'd like to explain. The only reason I have the Mac and the only time I ever use the Mac is for compatibility testing when I'm building a new project for a client.
And for myself. Every time the test ends up, Lou is not compatible with the Mac.
That is exactly correct. No, I don't use it for anything else. It's rarely, that screen is rarely on, as you can see.
Yeah, I do notice that every time I'm here.
Yeah.
You ready to move on to video games?
Sure, why not?
I've been playing a few games, actually.
By the way, I would like to say that, you know, do people know that I build websites and content management systems and stuff like that?
No, why don't you give yourself a shameless plug?
Okay. In case I've never talked about that, and in case you have a website out there, perhaps your company or something like that, that was built in Flash that's not compatible with iDevices and never will be, give us a call because we can help you out. We can repurpose your existing design and architecture in a format that's going to be compatible with everything. So there you go.
I have nothing to plug, so I guess we'll move on.
All right.
Let's start with the biggie that came out this week.
All right, let's.
I started playing Crysis 2.
Crysis 2.
Awesome.
Really?
Awesome.
Now, that doesn't use CryEngine 3, does it?
It does.
It does?
Yes.
Because I saw a video of that in action, and it looked ridiculously incredible.
This is, I bought it for the 360 because I read reviews on IGN that it performs better on the 360 than it does on the PS3.
Okay.
Which happens a lot when games come out.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that the technology of the 360 is.
Well, you know, I do find that with Sony computers, for instance, usually the tech specs of the Sony computers, they're not as good performers as anything else that's available at the same time by other companies. Like if, you know, HP and Acer and Asus are all coming out with computers with, you know, X processor, the one in the Sony's is all like two or three steps down from that.
Wow.
And you know, less RAM and stuff like that. So that's one of the reasons I typically don't buy Sony computers is because, and they're expensive. So for the price, you're not getting as much performance. It's usually little toys that they add on that I generally don't care about.
Right.
But so I guess that's not really surprising.
No, not surprising at all. Anyway, this game is, first of all, the most impressive looking game I think
you've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. It takes place in aliens have taken over New York.
I'm in.
Yeah, it's really cool. Actually, they have it for the PC.
Who do I beep?
I don't know if you I don't know if you remember when the first Crysis came out. It came out on the PC, and most people didn't have the
capability to run it.
Right.
I had my own Crysis when it came out because I couldn't run it. I still have never played more than the first 20 minutes because I didn't upgrade my system for months after that, and then I kind of was into other stuff. So,
well, they've made this one for the PC a little more compatible.
The last one took place in Korea, right?
I don't know because it was only on the PC. And
okay.
Never owned a PC that would run it. So
I gotcha. Yeah.
It's better I don't know.
Yeah.
But this one's so cool. The there's a couple things I want to mention. The AI in this game is better than any game I've ever played. I mean, they're smart without being, like, you know,
impossible to kill.
Right.
Right. That's tricky. That's tricky because you usually feel one way or the other. You usually feel like they're so dumb that why are they all just standing in a group in a cornfield? Or
you're like, how do they know I haven't even turned the corner yet?
Right, exactly. Right. That's not fair. The computer's cheating.
Right.
Right. Which we had a lot of trouble with back in the days of the arcade, if you remember.
when the games would not cheat for us.
Yes. Whenever we did poorly at an arcade game, we would always complain, sometimes to the management of the arcade, that the computer was cheating. That was never well received. Nor were requests for what time it was.
But where are they and where are we now? So
exactly.
But so far, I've only played in probably like an hour. But great. Love it so far.
Yeah. Maybe I'll check that out. I need something a little different right now. You know, the only thing I've been playing really is MMOs. So I need something.
One thing I want to say, I wish, and you've mentioned this before, I wish more first-person shooters would take a lesson from Half-Life 2 and make things a little more intuitive.
Yeah, like...
If I come across some ammo, why do I have to press a button to pick it up?
Just load me up.
Right.
Just load me up.
Because I'm going to pick it up.
The finding ammo is not fun.
It's one thing about switching out a gun. That I understand.
Right.
But if I just come up to ammo, why do I have to press a button to pick it up?
I know. I totally agree. There's nothing fun about that. It doesn't enhance the gameplay. It makes it worse.
Yeah.
So just if there's ammo there, just pick it up.
You know, in this game, you're wearing a you know, high-tech suit that has all these powers. So, you know, you can turn yourself invisible for a short amount of time. You can, like, super jump. One thing that's cool, you have this visor. When you pull the visor down, it lets you know everything that's in the area and how close it is and, like, you know, threats or ammo pickup or weapon pickup.
Can you just leave that on the whole time?
Well, no, it's annoying because there's all these, like, stats all over
the
screen.
It's like Predator Vision or Terminator Vision kind of thing. Yeah.
And then you get to a point where there's, like, infrared, so you can see, you know, when things are far away and you're in an area where you need
I get it.
Yeah.
Heat vision.
Right.
Kind of thing.
I've also been playing a very fun third-person action game. In fact, Dorian had mentioned this in one of his letters in our previous episodes. Enslaved Odyssey to the West.
Okay.
A lot of fun. It's similar. Actually, the story is similar to Crysis, only it's done a little more... not as realistically. You're in New York again that's been taken over, but it's long after fact. New York's kind of like decayed. A lot of the buildings have been destroyed and, like, you know, weeds are growing up the sides of, you know. It's been a long time since New York had been attacked. So you go back there and a lot of fun. It's a lot of, like, platforming, like Prince of Persia.
Mm-hmm.
My one issue with it is that it doesn't let, as far as the platforming goes, it doesn't let you do anything it doesn't want you to do, so there's no way to, like, accidentally fall off a cliff or jump off the wrong way. Like, you can only go the way you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
So there's really no challenge other than, you know, seeing where you have to go
I understand what you're saying.
That way.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
cool.
You know, I wouldn't say it's an A-plus game, but it's definitely a lot of fun.
Cool.
I also want to mention... a game I picked up for the iPad called Burn the Rope.
Okay.
Which is...
This sounds like potty humor.
It's... it's funny, though. It's $4.99, and it's similar to... Remember the game I talked about, like, episodes ago, Cut the Rope?
Yeah.
Where there's candy hanging from a rope, and you gotta, like...
Yeah, slash
cut
it.
Certain ropes to make it do certain things.
Yeah.
This is the same, only you're setting a fire to the rope.
Okay.
And then you can turn the whole play field, because fire only burns up.
Okay.
So you've got to, like, turn the whole...
So that the fire does what you want it to do.
Right. And your goal is to burn as much of the rope as possible. But there's spiders and bugs, and then later, you know, there are bugs that do certain things when you
burn
them.
I would just want to burn all them, too.
You do want to, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but what's cool is, like, for example, there's lightning bugs. When you hit one, there will be one, on the other side of the screen. It sends a little lightning charge to the other bug, so then it starts the fire on the other side of the board, let's say.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, my wife has decided that she doesn't want to teach our son to be afraid of bugs. So when she sees an insect in the house, she just talks about how we're just going to leave it alone and maybe we'll put it outside. And then daddy goes and collects it on a paper towel and I put it outside, quote unquote, which usually means me squishing it and throwing it in the garbage or flushing it down the toilet when he's not looking. But the other day, there was this giant spider on the wall. And he's like, "Ooh, Daddy, look, a creepy spider." And then he wanted to watch it crawl all over the wall. It took everything in me not to kill it. I hate spiders.
Right. So
hate
what happens them. The day he finally sees you kill a bug?
Then I turn to him and I stomp him. No. I don't know. I'll tell him that it was going after his toys, and then he'll be like, "All right, good." So
that's the best answer.
It's the best answer I can think
so
of.
So in trying to teach him not to be afraid of the bugs, you're going to teach him to be deathly afraid of the bugs. Because they're coming to get him. Right.
I don't know. I don't have all the answers, okay? You got any other games you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, before I talk about what I have been actually playing, I want to talk about a trailer for a game that I saw last night. First of all, there are a couple of Portal 2 trailers online. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen any of them.
Not a recent one.
But, I can't really tell from them how much of what you're seeing is story and how much of it is gameplay related, but they're kind of neat. So check those out. And then I read this blog called ISO 50, and the guy who writes the blog, he posted a trailer for, I want to say it's an iPad game, maybe either an iPhone or iPad game, I think, called Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. Have you heard of this?
No.
Check out the trailer for it. It looks really, really cool. It's like old school 8-bit graphics, but not done because, like, well, we couldn't make any better graphics. It's almost like a sort of 8-bit graphics effect applied to the animation and the artwork that they've done. And the trailer for it is really, really cool.
Oh, we'll look at it.
It's really cool. Yeah, we'll look at it during a break. And then I'll post a link to it later because it's just such a well-created trailer. Like, there's not much revealed in the trailer, but it's just incredibly well done.
Right.
It looks really neat. So I was fortunate enough to get a review key for the new MMO Rift, and so I started playing that, and I haven't gotten too far into it. I just haven't had much time. But I will say that it's very nice looking. It looks, I don't know if I would say it looks as good as Ion does, but it's definitely, you know, a much higher res game than something like World of Warcraft in terms of how the models are designed and all that sort of thing. But what I found to be really interesting about it was, you know, there's all these ads online right now for this game. I'm sure you've seen them at some point. Right. And it's like they all say, you know, we're not in Azeroth anymore. So they're obviously referencing World of Warcraft, but saying that they're better than it in their advertising. And what I thought was really funny is that when you start playing the game, if you play World of Warcraft, you don't have to learn anything new about any of the controls. They are identical.
Wow.
So all of the same keys bring up all of the same windows in this game as they do in World of Warcraft, which I think
That's a
good idea.
Move. Yeah.
You know, I wish more companies would do that rather than reinventing the wheel. You know, take what works and just do your own thing with it. But I found that to be a very good surprise. The one thing that I haven't quite figured out yet is their skill trees have sort of a dual element to them, and I don't really know what's going on, but I also haven't read anything, so but I am looking forward to getting more into that, so thank you again.
Got a good review on IGN.
Yeah, it looks really cool, and you know, obviously, again, if you've played other MMOs, especially World of Warcraft, very easy to get into, so I'm looking forward to seeing where the story goes and that sort of thing.
Now, I have a question. Since you have a review key, it's not really the full game, right?
No, it is. It just expires at some point.
Oh.
But they told me.
But
they
then
told
you'd
me,
have to start over, wouldn't you?
No.
Oh.
No, your account would just go on hold, and then if I wanted to pay for it, you know, I could just start it up there again.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, that is cool. But that's the only thing I've played recently.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
You ready?
This is your cue to move on.
Oh, okay. miscellaneous. The King of Kong saga continues. A couple of weeks ago, New Jersey hosted the Kong Off, which was a competition between the top 16 Donkey Kong champs. In first place was Hank Chien, who we will talk about a little more.
Yes, we will.
Who has held the King of Kong title for about a year now. Stephen Wiebe came in second, and Billy Mitchell came in seventh.
Down with Billy Mitchell! Yeah! I am glad to hear that he was not. That's awesome that he wasn't one of the top ones. He's rusty, you know? His head's in the barbecue sauce. He can't play the game anymore. Wait, was it barbecue sauce? No, it was wing sauce. Sorry.
Donkey Kong champ Hank Chien.
By the way, Brendan had a nice little joke there that his beard came in second. Which would not be possible because Steve Wiebe came in second. Steve Wiebe, where are you? Why didn't
tied
you call,
with the beard.
Why didn't you call us back when you were in Chicago? I think that trip didn't happen. Because didn't you say you drove by there on that day and there was nothing going on?
It looked like nothing was going on. And it looks like Logan Hardware is, in fact, a record store. And I mean record store.
Yeah, vinyl. Interesting.
I never see anyone in there.
Really?
I drive by it every day. I never
think
see
it's
anyone.
CIA front.
I don't know.
Now they're recruiting Donkey Kong players.
I should pull over
Donkey
one day and just check it out. Donkey Kong champ Hank Chien.
Is this the all Donkey Kong show?
No, but this is more Donkey Kong. Is the subject of yet another Donkey Kong documentary, Dr. Kong.
Because he's a surgeon, right? Plastic surgeon?
Right.
Yeah.
The film is hitting the film festival circuit right now, but you can check out the trailer on our fan page.
Now, I think we owe it to our listeners to provide them with ample warning about this trailer because Hank, our buddy Hank, the King of Kong, has what is arguably the most annoying laugh that's ever been recorded on modern recording equipment. So be prepared to be entirely annoyed by the guy's laugh at least 3 or 4 times just in the course of watching the trailer. I have no interest in seeing that whatsoever.
I'd check it out. If it was on Netflix, I'd watch it.
I'd go out of my way. I mean, the thing about King of Kong was it was so unexpected. I mean, I didn't know what to expect going into it. And it was such a well done, although I still purport that perhaps faked, documentary.
I think some of it's staged, definitely. How did they happen to be in the room when Billy Mitchell answers the phone?
Exactly.
Says Steve Wiebe's in the arcade.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What I like about this guy, though, it's funny. The reason he wanted to become Donkey Kong champ was to get laid.
Right. To get tail.
Right.
Yeah.
Which seems like...
He's a surgeon.
Right.
He's a surgeon. Just show up in a convertible Lamborghini. Right. You're going to get tail. Don't worry about it.
But he said that a person who is the best at anything, you know, has
always
women
gets laid.
Swirling around him. Yeah.
Swirling. Perhaps
swirling was my word. I don't think he used the word
perhaps
swirling.
Perhaps he'll be hooking up with some mermaids later today.
Steam will be adding a video recorder to its services any day now. With this new feature, gamers can record their gaming achievements and post them to YouTube.
So any game that...
From what I understand.
I wonder if it's only games that use their engine, though. I guess not. I guess it could work with anything.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wish that games would... I wish that any 3D game would include a recorder in it, but it would record the data so that the files are small unless you decide you want to actually save it as a movie. And then you could go and replay the sequence, and then it would record it as a movie, so that it's not trying to do that while you're playing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't know of any.
I wish the game would just know that what you're doing is really cool, so we're going to record right now
and upload it to YouTube automatically.
And then, okay, what you're doing right now, not so cool. We're going to stop recording.
My games would never be recorded.
Mass Effect 2's final mission, The Arrival, will arrive next week on the 29th.
You know, I still have not finished that. I got to go back and finish that game.
I finished all of it and all the DLC, so I'm looking forward to this.
Wow. And like I said before, Valve has released a new trailer for Portal 2 featuring a couple of comedic little robot buddies.
I may have seen that.
Really? There were two that I saw. There was one that was older and one that was just released.
All right. But, check those out.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got for video games?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about television. What have you been watching? Well, we have both seen, we were both watching American Idol, but you did not see last night.
Well, I worked last night.
That's not my problem.
I came here early this
morning.
That
is not my problem. So you didn't see it, so I can't really talk about
it. You can talk about
it. Well, I'll just say this. Last night was a lot better than last week. Last week, I didn't think really anybody did that great of a job. I thought Stefano was all right, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree.
And then Karen went home.
I don't think Karen should have gone home. I thought she was better last week than she was the week before.
Yeah.
I think Naima should go home.
Naima should have gone home last week. Yeah. She's not going to go home after last night, though, because they loved her.
Really?
Here's what I don't get about her. Last night's theme was Motown, and I don't even remember.
Sure, Songs from the Motor City.
Yeah, can you do me a favor and look up what she sang, because I don't remember what she sang last night. But she sang this song, and she did not change anything about it. Like, there was nothing about it that was interesting. The only thing that was interesting was that because it was Naima, it was interesting that she wasn't off key during most of it. And that's not really what you want on a show where they're trying to find, you know, the next great singer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hold on.
Are you not able to find it?
I Googled something wrong.
It's not really important. But so here's what she did. So she sings the whole song. She sings it just like the original. She doesn't change anything. She doesn't mix it up or whatever. And then right before she ends the song, these two guys come out playing bongos or something. And she does this like crazy tribal dance. And then she sings like the last couple notes of the song. That was her changing it up. And they were praising her for it.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. I think when you watch the show, you'll see that Jacob was without question the best last night. He did such a great job. I don't remember what anybody sang, just so you know.
Yeah.
I think that who's going to go to home tonight is either going to be Stefano.
Really?
Or Haley, I'm guessing. Yeah.
I think Haley is...
I think people just don't like her for some reason.
Yeah, I don't get it, because I think she's good.
I do think she's good, and I think she doesn't have any kind of negative personality that you would
No,
not...
they come down pretty hard on her, though, for not having a specific style.
Right. But, you know, I have to say, when you think back to, like, Kelly Clarkson's first album, she had a lot of different kind of music on that
right.
CD, and I thought it was great. Yeah. I like that. I don't want to hear the same song over and over with different lyrics on an album.
Right.
You know, I want to know that it's that person, but I like there to be variety. And so I personally don't have any problem with that. I don't know why they. I mean, I guess because they're like, well, how do we market this? How about just somebody who's a really great singer, and then you get good songwriters and make a good album? How about that?
That reminds me. Have you seen the commercial for The Voice? That's the one I was telling you about, where
they don't see the yes,
right, which I stand by. Okay, that's cool. The first episode, but then you've seen them. I mean, do they never see them?
Maybe it's different people every week.
Well, that's stupid, too. Oh. I mean, how can you really grow
What I want
to
know is...
Unless they never see them.
Well, maybe they never see them. What I want to know
that's
is...
So
did,
weird.
Did Christina Aguilera eat some of the contestants?
Right.
Because...
Yeah. She's a big girl now.
Yeah, she's looking a little... Yeah. I mean, didn't she used to be like a string bean?
Yeah.
Except not green?
Right. Pasty white.
Yeah.
She was a wax bean.
She was a wax bean. Perhaps a butter bean.
Right. Well, no, those are a little round.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, so Idol was definitely a lot better last night. In fact, when Jacob was done singing, Steven Tyler ran up on stage and hugged him.
Wow.
And the audience went crazy. But there were some, you know,
because they thought Steven Tyler was going to attack him?
Yeah, I think they thought there might have right. been a weapons right. charge involved in all of this. No,
oh, no, he's drinking again.
No, what was really, we talked about this before. Jennifer Lopez gives such great feedback to the contestants.
She does.
So
the best
there was
of
there
the
was some
them.
Stuff that she said last night that Amy and I were just like, "Man, she is so good at this.
Yeah.
She should be doing this full time, like mentoring, you know, aspiring artists."
I believe
and stuff.
That's one of the reasons they picked her was because they thought she was a great mentor a season or two ago.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
she should take some of her advice on her own music.
Wow, that's mean. Try and give the girl a compliment.
Honey, here. I'm sorry. This just isn't for you. Stick to dancing and acting.
Why are you talking to yourself again? Shut up, Mark. You think she always calls him Mark Anthony?
As long as he calls her Cleopatra.
So what else was I going to say about that? I didn't see Top Chef All-Stars last night.
I have not either.
For some reason, our DVR refuses to record it when it's first on and doesn't record until 10 o'clock. And then by 11, it's like, you know,
right.
too tired to watch it. So we usually watch it a day late and a dollar short.
But I am sad, though, because we haven't talked about it in a couple weeks. I am sad that my Carla is gone.
I know. What
Why
was so
is funny,
funny? Because the last time we did the podcast, she left like that week. And or after that or something, and Kelsey was laughing about it because she didn't like Carla.
No.
And I mean, I think Carla's fine. I didn't think there was any chance of her winning.
Win.
I'm still hoping that, and I don't know who won because I don't want to see anything. I'm hoping it was Blaze.
Oh, last night was the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, there's only three people left.
I didn't know that.
Right? Weren't there only three people left?
I guess.
Yeah, so that last night would have been the last one. Wow. I think, unless they're... Just doing it down to two, but they don't usually do that, do they?
No.
Yeah, so I don't know who
wow.
won, but I hope it's Blaze. I think he deserves it. I think he's
He needs a blaze
so,
of glory.
He's just so good. I mean, again, you know, you're not tasting the food, but from what it looks like, from what people's comments are, he just seems to be the best.
Should we wait and talk about this next thing at the end?
Because
I will be talking about this thing.
Yeah, we could do
end.
That.
Okay.
Okay. What else have you been watching?
Celebrity Apprentice.
You know, I saw a couple minutes of that, and it, you know, it's just weird. I will say,
he has picked the craziest people ever to be on the show.
The beginning scene when Trump was standing there with them outside. And he was going to introduce him to the Camping World guy. And then his kids were standing next to him.
Uh-huh.
I swear it looked like Ivanka had no bra on underneath that open black sweater of hers.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. You know, her dad wants to date her.
What?
Did you remember that a few years ago when he's talking about how gorgeous his daughter was? He's like, if I weren't her dad, I would want to date her.
Creepy.
And yeah, and he got like a ton of flack for that because it was completely creepy. But so how about the scene? I didn't see that much of it. But how about the scene where Trump tells Gary Busey to come over and meet the Camping World guy?
Oh, my God. That
and
was
Busey
hysterical.
Walks up to him with the classic, like, Gary Busey crazy face. And he's like, look, I know nothing in life is free, but I just want you to know my heart is open free to your heart. Okay? You got what I'm saying? And he's just, like, staring him down. And the guy's like, okay, great. And, like, he's, like, backing away. I swear, I thought Busey was going to just, like, I don't know.
He's so crazy. What I loved about that whole challenge was he sat out that whole challenge. He did, you know, really everyone else did the challenge. He just sat
now,
there.
Now, the last thing I saw was after Mark McGrath had arranged for, you know, $800 worth of trees or $400 worth of plants, and then the other guy got the $800 worth.
Right.
And then Mark McGrath was mad. That was the last thing I saw.
But Mark McGrath ended up getting them for free. So they took both.
Oh,
Richard Hatch's
okay.
And his plants.
Oh, okay.
Which is probably one of the reasons why they ended up winning.
Oh, did they win?
They did win.
Yeah.
But what was funny was Gary Busey thought because they won that he had done a fantastic job, but he did nothing. He did nothing but sit. Nothing. And so, like, when they're in the boardroom, Gary Busey thought he was going to get all these accolades from, like, his team and everything. And so, you know, the first person Trump asked, he's like, so what'd you think of Gary as a project manager? Like, well, I don't think Gary really did anything. I thought he was a train wreck.
Yeah.
And Gary is shocked. And he's completely hurt. And, like, thinks that he starts this whole conspiracy that there's an alliance of all the other people against him and he doesn't know why. Oh, it's so funny.
I think he's thinking of Lethal Weapon.
Was he in Lethal Weapon?
Sure.
Oh.
Mr. Joshua. Wow. Exactly. Thank you, Brendan, for that very quick insert.
But I'm enjoying it. It's
so
good.
So who left then?
Nikki Taylor.
She was the head of the girls team, right? And
the reason she left was because she thought she did great. She thought they all did great, even though she kind of fought with Dionne Warwick a little,
yeah.
Who's nuts herself.
Yeah, she is.
She's rude.
She's sort of, like, if you look in the dictionary next to doddering, I think you're going to see her picture. She's like, there's no idea what's going on.
Well, you know, she's related to Whitney Houston, so there's your answer.
There you go. Well, I told you what happened with her, right?
When you went to see her?
Yeah.
Not
by choice. I was like 12. Don't get any funny ideas.
So when he said to Nikki, well, you know, you're going to have to come back to the boardroom. Who do you want to bring with you? She's like, you know what? I'm completely responsible. And he's like, so you don't want to bring anyone? She's like, no. She's like, I thought I did a great job. I did thought we did the best we could do. You know, if we didn't win, then it was my fault. So we fired her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I give her kudos for that.
Yeah, and actually he did too.
Yeah.
But it's funny, then they flash, like, Dion's face, and Dion's just like, you know, later.
That's so terrible.
Being Human is my new obsession.
Really?
Oh, my God, it's so good.
So do you wish you were a ghost or a vampire
No.
or something? No.
No, certainly not the ghost, because her character is so boring.
Oh, really?
Really, I don't even know why she's on it.
She's a third of the show. This is your new favorite show. A third of the show is boring.
But, I mean, the exciting storylines are the werewolf and the the vampire storylines. Hers is just like, you know.
There's no mummy on the show?
Not yet. That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Where's he at? Where's that guy?
I tell you, this show is so good and it's so intense.
Yeah.
I love it. I wish you were watching it so we could talk about it.
I'm sorry.
You're the worst.
I know. What can I say?
But, well, I have good news about the show later in the miscellaneous. So,
is he getting picked up?
Thanks for ruining the news.
Well, do you think there's anybody who couldn't have figured that out from what you just said?
It's awesome.
Congratulations. We finished watching Castle Season 2. Very good show. So much fun to watch, yeah. And ended on kind of a sad note, though. They tricked us. You thought it was going somewhere, and then it went somewhere else. They totally tricked us. It was not cool. And then we've been trying to get caught up on Chuck, and let me just say, There have been some of the most hilarious moments on the episodes that we watched, and I will talk about one of those later as well. But still not caught up. So the most recent one was Chuck versus the Murder, but I haven't seen that one. So
is that actually how it's?
I would assume so, because in the title it was M-U-U-U-U-U-U-R-D-E-R kind of a thing. So I'm guessing that, yes, that is how it was supposed to be read or said or whatever. But it's been so good. It's always, you know, it's so funny because it's always the relationships on that show that make that show great and the fun little moments between the characters on that show. The stories are good, but there's a lot of cliched stuff. But but it's the relationships that are really outstanding on there. And even though it's a light show, it's just awesome. I hope it never goes away. But that's probably not the case.
That's coming up later in the news.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Come on. It's not cool. All right, go into miscellaneous.
Antonio L.A. Reid, former head of Island Def Jam Records, is the first to be named as judge alongside Simon Cowell for The X Factor.
You know, we just started seeing commercials for that. They're doing auditions next week, right? No, sometime in April in Chicago. We should maybe try to attend. See what's...
You going
to
try an audition?
No. No, but let's interview some auditioners, you know, okay. See what we can see.
The Office, Community, and Parks and Recreation have all been renewed for another season.
I am shocked that The Office has been renewed.
I think it still has a big viewership.
It just seems weird. I mean, who's going to take over?
Yeah, but that might breathe new life into it.
It could.
So,
yeah, true.
On that note, after a couple episodes, Perfect Couples has been canceled. Did you ever watch an episode of that?
Never even heard of that.
Oh, it was a new one they added a few weeks ago. It's terrible.
Huh.
Terrible.
Never even heard of it. Yeah. So I'm not sad that it's gone. No.
Sci-Fi has renewed the American version of Being Human for a second season.
I think we just covered that.
I'm very excited about that. It's really good.
I believe you.
One of our faves, Kristen Chenoweth, will star in a new series from Sex and the City creator Darren Star titled Good Christian Bitches.
You know, I hate those kind of names and taglines. Any kind of like, I think I'm being so edgy and funny and clever kind of names and taglines annoy the crap out of me.
I was reading some info on it, and it looks like it's going to be kind of a Desperate Housewives ripoff.
Do we need that? That show's not even good.
Right.
That show was,
and no one's even watching
it. That show
it
was really good its first season. I could not watch more than 10 minutes of the second season. It was just like, what is going on here? It's not even the same show. I just find that so annoying. It's like that Nurse Jackie with the tagline that they were promoting, Life's Full of Little Pricks.
That's a good show, though.
Yeah, whatever. Written by a third grader.
If you were one of the few who were upset by the cancellation of The Cape, you can catch the series finale online at NBC.com.
Our own Kelsey will be very happy to hear that because she was really into that show.
Really?
She was, which is strange because she doesn't like sci-fi, but she was really into it. Really? So she was bummed when it got canceled.
Josh Holloway from Lost will appear in the season finale of Community.
Oh, nice. We're so behind on Community and Modern Family, and we've seen none of this.
Well, Modern Family hasn't been on the last 3 weeks until last night.
Yeah, well, we're still not.
I haven't seen that yet either.
We've only seen like two or three of them.
And Eliza Dushku will be in a new comedy with Damon Wayans about a sports radio show.
What is this, 1990?
Right.
Really?
What was that? Wasn't there another sports radio?
There was. There was some with, sports.
Felicity Huffman was in it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, but I remember that there was one.
Called like Sports Night or something.
Do you remember, Brendan?
Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah.
Was it called Sports Night?
It was called Sports Night.
There so you there you go.
See?
There you go. You know, Eliza Dushku, she's kind of a TV staple at this point. I mean, you know she's just going to keep getting work. It might.
And keep killing it.
It might happen. It might not happen. But you know what I was really surprised by? Last night we saw a commercial for some comedy, and I unfortunately cannot remember what it was called. But one of the leads in it was Odette Eustman, who was the girl who they were trying to rescue from the skyscraper in Cloverfield. Have you ever seen that yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You didn't like it?
I did like it.
Oh, okay.
We talked about it on the show, as a matter of fact.
God, I can't even remember that.
What was the name?
Odette Eustman. And it was weird because then she was in some other movie recently that she was kind of praised for, and people were talking about her sort of being Hollywood's new It Girl, and then now she's on this dumb...
She looks like she could play Lara Croft.
She's not British.
She
now she's on this dumb, what looks like a dumb sitcom.
Breaking In.
Yeah, that doesn't really look like that's going to improve her chances of being the next Hollywood It Girl. I got to say right now.
Oh,
I don't get it.
Let's see who else is on that.
By the way, speaking of Castle, if you love the way that Castle's condo looks and you would like to know how to get those really cool walls in your own home, I know the company that makes that stuff, and I just got some samples because we're thinking about putting some in our place. But
you did not mention the Christian Slater.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was in that. He wasn't on the commercial I saw. Was he
play
her dad?
A high-tech security firm that takes extreme and often questionable measures to sell their protection services. That's not a...
Really?
That's not a sentence.
It didn't even...
There's no verb in there.
It didn't.
That's on IMDb.
I swear the commercial for it didn't make it look anything like what you just described. It looked like a stupid relationship comedy.
Unless she's on,
because that actually sounds
well.
Interesting. Because that reminds me of Sneakers, which was a great concept for a movie.
She goes by two names, by the way.
What?
She also goes by Odette Annabelle.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that an old name?
Oh, she's been in a couple episodes of Brothers and Sisters. Maybe it was that.
I don't know.
The one with Sally Fields.
No. It was Breaking In that I just saw a commercial for. But they didn't. I didn't get any sense of what you just said.
With the Sally Fields and the Calista Flockharts.
Okay, fine. Let's move on, shall we?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, great. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. What have you seen?
Before we talk about movies, I want to mention something I didn't mention in TV.
Yes.
It slipped my mind. But I caught a really cool panel discussion the other day. It was actually on Xbox. I had to pay for it, but it was just like a couple bucks. But it was a reunion of the cast of Freaks and Geeks. Did you ever watch Freaks and Geeks?
I did not.
Great show. That's, you know, where Judd Apatow and all those people started.
I did not know that. Sorry, wrong generation.
What were you thinking?
Sarah Jessica Parker. I was thinking of Square Pegs.
Yeah, that's Square Pegs.
But it was the same kind of concept, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it took place, even though it was like 10 years ago, I think they made it. It took place like in the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
So all the music is like classic rock and it's about a group in high school of geeks and like stoners.
Right.
And but it's where Seth Rogen got to start, James Franco, Jason Segel, Linda Cardellini.
Wow. That's a big group of like famous people.
And so they brought them all back except for, of course, James Franco.
Cause he's too big for his britches.
And they made jokes about it through the whole
thing.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. But I didn't know that he also made another, series after that called Undeclared. He wanted to try it.
I remember that.
Because Freaks and Geeks only lasted a season.
Okay.
And they told a funny story how they were pretty sure that it wasn't going to last more than a season and they didn't know how long it was going to last. So halfway through the season, they shot the finale.
Wow.
So, like, they shut the finale before, like,
the rest of the episodes.
Right.
Wow.
but it ended up staying a whole season. But then, you know, he wanted to try his hand at TV again, so made another one called Undeclared. And there were some big names on that, too. He brought Seth Rogen back for that. But Amy Poehler was on it.
Wow.
And a couple other people.
Now, so he just refused to be a part of the reunion? James Franco?
James Franco?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he was busy.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
But they did some ripping on him. It was funny.
Because, I mean, some of them are just as big as he is. Seth Rogen is kind of, I mean, he's a big deal
right
now.
He wasn't nominated for an Oscar.
No. What was James Franco nominated for?
127 Hours.
Oh, yeah. Those kind of movies have no.
I have that at home. I haven't watched it yet.
I have no interest in watching something like that.
Why? Because of the arm cutting?
No, because there's a guy stuck in a hole for the whole movie. Why would I want to see that?
Well, you know he gets out.
Well, but again, more reason I don't need to see it.
But anyway, it was really interesting. So anyone who has Xbox,
check it out.
I think it was like $1.50 or something to watch it. But it's an hour and a half, and it was good, especially if you liked Freaks and Geeks because there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. I would loan you. I have Freaks and Geeks, the complete series, but I know you'll probably never get to it. So
I would probably watch that at some point, but I don't know when. I don't know when. So
it's good. It's really funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention that before. And
yeah, I've never heard anything bad about that show.
No, it's great.
Yeah,
Brendan, have you ever seen Freaks and Geeks?
I have.
Yeah, Brendan likes it.
By the way,
Brendan gave Innerspace 2 thumbs up. He watched it the other day. I loaned it to him because he had never seen it before.
It still it stands the test of time?
Which I don't even remember that. He said there was a scene at the end where he shrinks down the two bad guys and they're in the back of the car.
That's vaguely familiar.
I just don't remember that at all. I haven't watched it in a long time, but
do you have it on Blu-ray?
I do not. I don't know if it's out on Blu-ray.
Oh, I don't know either.
Oh.
As far as movies, I saw a movie in the theater.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too. I'm very excited that I got to see a movie finally.
I saw The Adjustment Bureau.
And?
Hated it.
Really?
Absolutely the worst movie. In fact, this is the close. I didn't walk out, but like a couple times, I'm just like, I don't know if I can take this. I'm going to get
really
so bad. And here's the reason.
It looks so good from the previews.
No, it's so bad. It's so ridiculous. Let me just.
We'll go ahead and talk about it because.
Okay. You know, the whole story is Matt Damon's character is a politician.
Okay.
And he just lost an election. And the night he's going to give his concession speech, he meets Emily Blunt. And they kind of have like a little, just like they kiss a little in the bathroom because he's like, he's in a bathroom practicing his concession speech and she happens to be in there.
Okay.
And so they meet and they hit it off. And like, and as far as the dialogue between them, the dialogue is written well.
Yeah.
And it's shot well. I mean, it's the
it's
quality
a well-crafted
of the movie.
Film.
Yeah. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
So then he gives his concession speech, but she's always been on his mind, so he always hopes on running into her. Well, he runs into her again, and apparently in the big plan, that's not supposed to happen. And the reason it happened was because the guy who's always watching him, like, fell asleep.
Okay.
And, like, didn't cause something to deter him from getting on the bus that she was on.
Okay.
And so this whole movie is about how he's not really supposed to be with her, but yet he keeps running into her because the people watching him keep making mistakes.
Okay.
Now, these are people who watch people to make sure that they live, you know,
the lives they're supposed to live.
They're supposed to live. And no one's ever heard of it, but apparently the group watching Matt Damon is so bumbling that they keep making mistakes and he keeps bumping into her.
Right.
But my deal with it is, okay, that's bad enough. My deal with it is the stakes are just not that high. I mean, they say that, I'm going to ruin the whole movie. They say the reason that that he's not supposed to be with her because she's supposed to be this, they're not supposed to meet and she's supposed to become this very famous dancer and he's supposed to become president.
Okay.
Which is so ridiculous. And if they get together, those two things won't happen.
Okay.
Why can't those two things happen?
You cannot possibly be president married to a dancer.
Well, that's my point.
I mean, look at Ronald Reagan. Oh, wait.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, the stakes are just, they're not high. I mean, there's no reason why they have to keep these two people apart when all they want to do is be together.
Right.
So stupid. So the end is them just running, running through different doors that lead to different places, being chased by this group that's trying to split them up. Ugh. It was torture.
Yeah, well, that's what I think I mentioned before that movie. Oh boy, I'm not even gonna remember the name of it now. The movie with Charlize Theron where she was married to, I think it was
Johnny Depp.
Was it Johnny Depp?
Astronaut's Wife.
Was that the Astronaut's Wife? I don't think that was. Wasn't Astronaut's Wife a movie that was just out within the last couple of years? The movie I'm thinking about was like 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, right. I think Astronaut was in the title, though.
Will you look it up? Because I can never remember the name of it. And I don't think it's Astronaut's Wife. I think that was just out.
And also, this movie was clearly mismarketed because, you know, you thought it was going to be kind of Inception-like and very, like, sci-fi. But,
yeah.
But it was a love story and, like, a sappy, like, you know what it reminded me of? Another movie that I saw and I hated just because it went over the top with the sappiness and it just was so ridiculous is remember that movie City of Angels with Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan?
Barely.
Ugh, so it left me the same kind of feeling, which I don't like.
Yeah,
don't
it like sounds it. Like a cross between Manchurian Candidate and Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, but without being good.
Yes.
Yeah, which is bad.
What is it I'm looking for here?
Just look up Charlize Theron and just see if you can find the name of that movie. Because the deal was he was an astronaut and he picks up some bug and so he gets infected and then he and his wife get pregnant and she has these hybrid alien babies. And so, you know, it's like this horrible, terrible thing where the government wants the babies dead and she just wants to protect the babies and everything.
Astronaut's Wife.
It was?
Yeah, 1999.
Wasn't there just a movie out within the last couple of years called The Astronaut's Wife?
Time Traveler's Wife.
I'm getting confused. Okay.
Don't confuse the astronaut
and
time traveler.
I can't do that. So they keep trying to kill the alien babies. The alien babies are bad. We got to get rid of the alien babies. But the whole time, they never said why it was bad. And the kids never did anything. They just, like, went to school. So,
well, that's the reason I stayed in this movie, because I'm like, why is it so necessary to keep these people apart?
Right.
What's the big deal? And then when they come up with the thing, because it's like two-thirds almost, you know, where they come out, like, he's supposed to become president. And like, and he's willing to, like, you know.
Right. But see, unless they have, unless they let you in on some further along agenda why him being president is important.
They didn't.
Then it doesn't. They're,
they
like
say
you said,
it's
there's
important
no
that
stakes.
He becomes president. But they, yeah.
Right. Telling telling the audience that the stakes are high without demonstrating that is bad.
That's my
bad.
Oh, it bad. Was terrible. And I went on Rotten Tomatoes and it's got like, you know, 70% or something. Why? Who could have liked that movie?
I don't know. That is weird.
I bet like 14-year-old girls like that movie.
Yeah, I don't know. And you saw something else?
I did. I saw Megamind.
And?
Which is the animated movie with Will Ferrell and Brad Pitt and Tina Fey and, and Jonah Hill. Really funny.
Yeah?
Really smartly written.
Yeah.
And the story, it's very similar to Incredibles.
Okay.
Story's not quite as good as The Incredibles, but very fun. I mean, I laughed out loud through the whole thing.
Oh, that's cool.
It was written really well. And Will Ferrell's great in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that at some point. You know, one of Amy's aunts saw Rango. Is that the name of it? She said it was incredible. She said definitely not a kid's movie, but she said it was absolutely amazing. Like, it was such
a great
film.
I've heard that from someone as well. I heard from someone who was seeing the theater and loved it, but it was saying that two different groups of people had brought their kids and got up and left.
Yes, she said it definitely was not a kid's movie at all.
I wonder what happens in it that, like, it's so offensive you would pick your kids up and take them out.
I don't know. Doesn't it seem like there's going to be a lot of good movies this year? Or a lot of movies that have the potential to be good?
Yeah.
Like Super 8, which we both saw a trailer for in the theater, looks just, it gave me chills when I was watching it. It looks like it could be so incredible.
Was it cold?
No. It was just, it was chilling how great it looked.
Ah.
And then Cowboys and Aliens looks like it might be pretty cool.
I don't think that's going to be good.
You think just because Harrison Ford's in it that it's going to be bad?
No. It just,
because he's sort of become that guy at this point, which is a shame.
Something about it just, it doesn't strike a chord with me.
Yeah.
Captain America looks great. Have you seen the new trailer for that?
No, but I heard it was good.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking forward to Thor. Looking forward to Green Lantern.
Actually, there's a new Thor trailer that's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Natalie Portman's in that too, isn't she? She's like in everything.
Yep.
A bunch of other movies that we saw. You know, I have to say the preview for the next Pirates of the Caribbean does not make it look good. First of all, no Keira Knightley or Orlando Bloom. Neither one of them is in the movie, I don't think. I could be wrong about that, but they were not in what we saw at all. So if they're in there, maybe it's like a surprise. But I did not see either one of them in the trailer. But it looks like
well, the last two weren't good. So why would, you know, why would this one be good?
Yeah, I guess. But then why make it? They had to make the last two, you know?
No, they're not listed in the cast.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's weird.
There are a lot of big names in it, though.
Yeah. Yep. That Johnny Depp is in it.
Uh-huh. Jeffrey Rush, Ian McShane.
Yep. Yeah, Ian McShane is a bad
Ward,
guy.
Judi Dench.
Judi Dench, sure. The Dame Judi Dench?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Keith Richards.
Sure, of course. And it just seems like, you know, that Johnny Depp is almost playing Captain Jack as a parody of himself. You know what I mean? Like, he's already gone to that point.
Right.
It's only been four movies. Come on, it took Al Pacino years to get to that point. Same with Harrison Ford. So we saw Battle Los Angeles. Got terrible reviews, but Amy really wants to see a sci-fi movie. And I have to say, it was a really good ride. I mean, it, again, not a great movie, but action, start to finish, except for about 10 minutes right at the beginning. You know, they show you kind of the point that things are at with the devastation across the world. And then they back up a little bit like the day before to just introduce you to some of the characters and everything. But the storyline is that these meteors start falling and they think the scientists at first think they're just going to hit in the somewhere out in the ocean. But then they end up hitting in the ocean right off the coast of Tokyo. And then they start hitting in all these other places on the planet.
That's timely.
I know. And then one of the other places they hit is Los Angeles, off the coast of Los Angeles. And then people start seeing stuff coming out of the water. And at first, nobody knows what's going on. They think that there's some kind of invasion force, but that it's, you know, Earth-based. And then they quickly realize that it's not human. But they don't have any idea what it is. And so in Los Angeles, like, the whole Santa Monica area has already been, like, you know, devastated. And so there's two things that they have as the immediate goals. One is to, you know, keep the enemy from getting further into the city. and another is to get to this police station where some civilians are trapped and get them out of there. Because if they can't contain the situation by a certain time, they're going to, you know, basically bomb the place to wipe out the enemy.
Right.
They're going to destroy most of Los Angeles just to make sure that the enemy doesn't
And that's the most
in.
Important city because that's where the celebrities live.
Well, sure. Right. Exactly. Without that, U.S. is pretty much nothing. Right. What do we got? We got Levi's.
Right. And Oprah.
Oprah. She can move. You know, it's fine. So, you know, yes, there were a lot of cliches, but I will say as a sort of war movie, if you like military action movies, it was really entertaining. You know, there were some good action sequences. It was pretty mindless for the most part, but it was not a movie full of like stupid, you know, cheesy one-liners and stuff like that.
Good.
It was not at all like that. In fact, I thought it was directed and acted really well. Like,
is Michelle Rodriguez in it?
She is in it.
And she had no stupid one-liners?
No, she did not have any.
She's kind of the queen of that.
She had no stupid one-liner. Nobody did. Nobody did. The lead was Aaron Eckhart.
Uh-huh.
Bridget Moynihan is in it. She's one of the civilians who's trapped in the, you know, in the police station. Is it, who's the guy who's in Crash? Is that John Pena?
Michael Pena.
Michael Pena. Yeah, he was in it. He plays one of the civilians. And like her, I think her brother-in-law or cousin or something like that, her cousin's wife or husband or whatever. And it was really good. There were a couple parts that were actually kind of touching. And I thought a lot of the alien related stuff was really neat. Pretty cool alien designs. They weren't, you know, things I had seen before. And I liked their technology because their technology wasn't all laser beams and stuff like that.
Right.
It looked like they were shooting, you know, bullets and missiles and stuff, but that they were just really powerful and they had a lot of them. And they had some cool flying technology and some other stuff. There was definitely some stuff in the movie.
Now, is there any backstory like about, you know, why the aliens were attacking and where they came from?
There was only the only time you ever got any of that. No, nothing about where they came from. Okay. The only clue that was ever really dropped was, you know, you would see newscasts that were going on in the background, or somebody would, you know, get on the internet on a computer that was on a, you know, a landline or whatever. And they said that, you know, they were speculating that they were here for water because there are very few planets, from what we've discovered, there are very few planets that have liquid water on the surface. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like they were powering some of their equipment and other stuff with water.
Okay.
So they were just making an assumption, but it was never, you know, there was never any communication between us and the aliens at all. They just came in and started attacking.
Right.
And you know, it's they said, you know, you heard people say things like, it seems like they're trying to colonize, because the first thing that you do when you colonize a place is you get rid of the indigenous population so that you can do whatever you're going to do.
Right.
And it seems like that's what's going on here. There was one thing that one plot point that was just beyond ridiculous. There was a very large alien thing that was underground in this one place. And then they tried to destroy it, and it starts to leave. But it was way too big to have gotten underground where it was without having destroyed everything around it. You know what I mean? It was like, well, how did it get there in the first place? So that was really stupid. But no, I mean, it was, you were like on the edge of your seat the whole time, and the action was really good. There were a couple, you know, nice surprises, things you didn't expect to happen, and a little bit of character backstory and, you know, I thought enough character development at the right times to make it not a completely horrible movie. So I don't really know why it got such bad reviews. Roger Ebert gave it half a star. He said that if you know anybody who likes this movie, tell them they're an idiot. And if you're a girl and your boyfriend likes this movie, to dump him and get a new boyfriend. That's how bad he said it was. But I am lucky that my wife is not dumping me, even though I like the movie. But I think she liked it even more than I did.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
She also hasn't seen a movie since October.
Well, there's that.
So that had a lot to do with it. But yeah, it was nice to be able to actually get out and see a film in the old theater. And we went on Tuesday night, so it was like $5, which was awesome.
That is good.
Cheap. So what else you got?
Got some miscellaneous here. Movie Line has created a list of the 15 most profitable films of all time. I thought this was interesting, so I have the list.
You got it up? Okay.
Yeah.
Most profitable.
So Avatar. Obviously it goes, well, no, because you know how much Avatar cost to make?
It's
the budget to make the movie versus the gross.
Right. Most profitable?
Most profitable.
Gone with the Wind.
No.
That's Star Wars.
Huge epic movie. Obviously, it's a little movie that did huge.
Yeah, but Gone with the Wind, did it cost that much to make, really? I would think because it's made so much money since then.
It's not in the top 15.
Oh, okay.
Star Wars is number six.
Star Wars is number six. Okay, yeah. So Blair Witch Project.
I totally thought that would be on the list. And surprisingly, it's not.
Okay.
And then when I looked it up, it didn't gross as much as you would think.
Juno.
No. No, you'll be sad when you hear what it is. Also, the movie I'm about to say, which is the most profitable, apparently, I read in this article, is also the highest grossing romantic comedy of all time. And it's a horrible movie.
Really?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me. And I completely disagree that it was a horrible movie. I thought it was really funny.
Really? You liked it?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. I tried to watch the TV show when it was first out, and it was dreadful. And then, you know, that second movie she did, My Life in Ruins, yeah. Dreadful.
Well, but Dudikakis.
Yeah, Dudikakis and Poopikakis. But yeah, I mean, I thought My Big Fat Greek Wedding was a really good movie.
Oh, well, then you're right up there with it.
Thought it was very funny.
But the rest of them don't really make sense. Like, E.T. is number two.
Yeah. I mean, really, was there a lot of work that went into that?
Well.
I'm kidding.
Slumdog Millionaire is number three.
I'm surprised that E.T. was number two. I think that would have been very expensive to produce.
Well, the budget apparently was only $25
million. Wow.
And it grossed $793 million.
That's insane.
So really, when you're trying to guess this list, you've got to think of like the biggest money makers.
Right.
And then, like, you know.
Okay, so what was three?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay.
Pretty Woman was number four.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it grossed $463 million.
How much did it cost to make?
23.
Wow.
Grease is number five.
Okay.
Star Wars number six.
Now, are they doing percentage increase or just total number of dollars?
Percentage.
Okay.
American Beauty is number seven. Passion of the Christ is number eight. Home Alone is number nine. Ghost is number 10. Jaws is number 11. The Hangover is number 12.
Wow.
There's Something About Mary, 13. Mrs. Doubtfire, 14. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, 15.
Now, see, that's crazy because that must have cost a fortune to make.
$111 million to make. It grossed $1.1 billion.
My God. That's insane.
So, I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. And I appreciate you bringing it to the program.
We had a little fun there, didn't we?
it happened so fast, I don't even remember.
Just a few episodes ago, we reported on an American Pie reboot. Well, news comes this week that the major principals from the original film have just signed on to appear in a fourth film of the series, American Reunion.
Wow, that's going to be so sweet.
Yeah.
Has that guy done anything recently?
Who?
The main dude? I haven't seen him
in a few
years. Yeah,
it's a TV show right now, doesn't he?
Oh, he does?
Or he just had one.
I don't know.
Yes, he has. Yeah, it's
fairly. Are you excited to see Chris Klein again on the big screen?
Sure.
Don't you not like him?
I don't hate him.
Oh, I thought you didn't like him. Talked several times about how you can't stand him?
Yeah, I guess he is annoying to me. You know, here's the thing about him. I used to not like the main guy in Glee because he reminded me of him, but now he's grown on me, so now Chris Klein doesn't bother me as much.
Wow, look at that.
So there you go. We've all come
innocent
full circle.
By association.
But what's funny is a lot of those actors from American Pie became really big and like wouldn't do the like sequels.
Yeah.
But now, you know, are any of them big anymore?
Right.
None of them. So now they're all Sean William Scott, maybe.
For, really? Yeah. Brennan says Sean William Scott just went to rehab.
Ooh,
for what?
Breaking news.
Wow. Exhaustion, probably. You think so?
Dehydration. 20th Century Fox and Marvel are working on a Daredevil reboot.
Oh, boy.
Please no Affleck.
Please. Affleck.
There are many actresses currently reading for the two major female roles in the Total Recall remake. Eva Mendes, Diana Kruger, and Kate Bosworth being just a few.
Okay, wait. Okay, Eva Mendes, obviously going for the part that Rachel Tocotin played originally, right? Diana Kruger and Kate Bosworth, I would assume going for the part that Sharon Stone played.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Why?
Neither one of them has the weight to play that role. Especially not Kate Bosworth. Diana Kruger, I could see, maybe. But not Kate Bosworth. Get her out of there. Who's the male lead? Do we know?
That's the next sentence.
Oh.
The role once dominated by Arnold Schwarzenegger has already been given to Colin Farrell.
No. Colin Farrell?
Like
are you kidding
Colin
me?
Farrell. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be like an exact like remake. Isn't Total Recall based on a Philip Dick?
I believe so.
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll go back to the original source and like start from scratch and not try to make it a remake of the movie.
Right. I don't know. That movie's kind of classic.
I didn't love it as much as you did, even back then.
I think you need to see it again. No. I think if you saw it now,
you
would like it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Brendan? Good movie? Amazing movie. Brendan says amazing.
Wow.
Okay. All you got to do is say 2 weeks, and everybody knows exactly what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
See? Everybody.
The release date for the new Planet of the Apes film, Rise of the Apes, has been moved up to August 5th.
When was it supposed to be out before?
November.
Whoa, really?
No, moved up.
Wow, that's good news. That's good news. That means they think it's really good. Well, no.
Or let's just get this over with.
No, they would never do that. They would never do that. You don't move it back into the summer if you don't think it's going
to
do well.
Oh, that's true. Mark Wahlberg has stated that he would like to make a sequel to The Fighter. Okay.
Well, called what? The Fighterer?
Yeah, I don't know why you would need to do that. A new Narnia movie is forthcoming, and Vegas bookies are starting to take bets on how long the actual title will be.
Because don't they have really long titles?
What's funny was that you wrote that. I'm like, Vegas, what? Where's he going with this?
Ron Burgundy, ladies and gentlemen.
David Fincher is in talks to direct Angelina Jolie in the long-rumored Cleopatra film.
Oh, boy. Wow.
You know,
wait, would it be like a remake of the Elizabeth Taylor one? By the way, rest in peace, Elizabeth Taylor.
That's the last news item there.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. Well, you said Cleopatra. You can't say Cleopatra and not bring up Elizabeth Taylor.
But, you know, at the time, that Cleopatra film was the biggest
grossing
bomb of all time.
Biggest bomb?
No, at the time.
Oh. Why was it a bomb?
Well, it's the opposite of the most profitable.
Oh, in terms of just money.
It was the highest budget ever, and they didn't get... anywhere near the return.
Did people not like the movie? Is that
why? No, it was bad. You know what? I'll look it up.
I've never seen it. Have you?
No.
Oh.
It's supposed to be really long, like over 3 hours or something.
Mm.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt will appear in The Dark Knight Rises. Kevin Costner has been cast as Clark Kent's father in the new Superman reboot.
Wow, that's unexpected.
Is it?
Sure, Kevin Costner. I mean, what's he done lately?
And,
I don't think of him as being a particularly good actor. Like, he's not really a good actor. Like,
I disagree.
I guess I could understand why, people would be attracted to him. Like,
he's hunky.
Right. They think he's hunky.
No, you think he's hunky.
No. I'm saying I understand how people could think he's hunky. But what I'm saying is...
But wouldn't you have to find him hunky to understand that?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. But
if someone found Rick Moranis hunky, would you understand that?
No, not at all.
Because you don't find Rick Moranis hunky.
I don't find either one of them.
You find
hunky.
Kevin Costner hunky.
No, that's not true at all. I'm just saying.
Do you like that Rick Moranis is my go-to as the antithesis of hunky?
I don't think Rick Moranis thinks that's a good thing. I think he's probably not too happy right now.
I think Kevin Costner is a decent actor. I don't think he's a great
actor. I liked him in JFK, and
he's
great
in Untouchables. Did you ever see Perfect World? He's awesome in that.
I never did see that. And
that's
great movie. I don't know if I thought he was great in Untouchables. I don't know. I can't remember. I've only seen it once.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't hear him over Sean Connery screaming through the whole film.
That's true. And I don't know. I don't know. I was going
to
say
that. And that's
something
all you have to say about that?
Yeah, I don't know. He just doesn't seem like that great of an actor. Not that you need the best actor in the world for the father of Superman, but
But he's the father of Clark Kent. There's a difference.
Yeah, right. But that's what I mean, Clark Kent. But who I forget, who played his father in the original Superman movie? He was somebody big. It was like a big name.
Glenn Ford.
Yeah. Glenn Ford was a big time actor.
I don't think he was any bigger than Kevin Costner.
I think he was taller.
Okay.
Had more of a paunch.
But I'm anxious to see who's going to play Superman's father.
Who's playing Superman again?
Some guy who I don't really know.
Okay.
Yeah. Who I think is a little twerpy to be playing Superman.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen his picture?
No, I don't even know who
it is.
He's
kind of twerpy. Oh. He was on the cover. It was on the cover of an Entertainment Weekly recently.
Yeah, I don't get those on time. So.
Oh, you should be getting it any day now.
Why,
it was like three issues ago.
So I probably will get it soon.
But remember, Diane Lane is playing Superman's mother. Not Clark Kent's mother, Superman's mother.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of happy with the casting so far.
She seems to have some superhuman assets.
And finally, although you've ruined this, classic Hollywood star Elizabeth Taylor, dead at 79.
I love the way you just love to end on
a
sour note.
It's a thing now.
I love the way you emphasize dead. What do you have to say about Elizabeth Taylor? Anything?
I do have to say that Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Have you ever seen that movie? One of the best written, although I know it was a play first, so I mean, let's give it to that. But the dialogue in that movie is like genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you compare it to, you know, in modern times in terms of its, like, what's something?
Well, it's all very dialogue driven, so I would compare it
David Mamet.
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know.
But less quirky?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know
Aaron Sorkin?
Yes, you know what? That's a good example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the whole movie, her and Richard Burton play, you know, old married couple.
You know, they were married in real life.
Yes, twice.
Yeah.
And in the whole movie, they're supposed to be drunk and they are fighting through the whole movie.
Right.
So it's funny. It's interesting.
Is it funny?
Oh, yeah, very.
Oh, it's comedy?
Yeah. Or Mike Nichols directed it.
Dramedy.
Dramedy, but more I would say on the side of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she won the Oscar for
it. What year was it made?
Oh, like 60.
Yeah, it's a while ago.
Late 60s, mid 60s.
Yeah. Before we were born.
Yes. Or right around the time.
Yeah.
But no, they've been showing some old like interview footage of her. She was really funny.
Yeah, she was. You know, it seems a lot of those, that era of Hollywood starlets had a pretty good sense of humor. And yeah. You got to wonder if it's because they were always drinking.
Oh, I'm sure.
Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Funny broad, right?
And then there's the whole story between them two.
They hated each other, right?
Well, they were best friends. They were like
bridesmaids. But then they were married
but
to the same guy.
But then she stole, right? Right.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Taylor
not
stole
at the same time.
Eddie Fisher.
Right.
Right. But like when she was married to Mike Todd and Debbie Reynolds was married to Eddie Fisher, like they were inseparable, the four of them. They would go on vacations together and like, and then Mike Todd died in a plane crash.
Oh,
and
boy.
So Eddie Fisher went to console Liz and never came back.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
That was quite the consolation.
Yeah.
Or consultation, as the case may be.
But there was a funny, I saw a clip from an interview that she did with Barbara Walters when Barbara Walters said, what would you like your tombstone to read? And Elizabeth Taylor goes, here lies Liz. She lived a full life. And then she goes, no, you know what? I hate the name Liz. I guess it would say, here lies Elizabeth. She hated the name Liz.
It's really
that
funny.
Is pretty funny.
I wonder if they're going to do that now.
I would hope not.
And she had a special relationship with Michael Jackson.
Yeah. And
so now they're reunited. Oh. Feels so good.
What was that?
Reunited and it feels so good.
And that's all I have.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh moosh.
AT&T has purchased T-Mobile for $39 billion. Now, that is just the U.S. division of T-Mobile, which is owned by Deutsche Telekom. So they did not purchase their overseas assets, just the company that operates here. And
do you think that'll improve our network at all?
Absolutely not. I think it'll make it worse.
Really?
Well, I think what'll be worse is that there's less competition now, so that's never good for anyone.
Right.
That lets you be a little bit sloppier with your everything.
But aren't they also adopting all of their technology and towers and all that?
Yeah, although I don't think T-Mobile was particularly known for having
really?
fantastic infrastructure. I mean, they were like 5 years late launching 3G or something
right.
like that. And, you know, I kind of have a beef with them for all these terrible commercials they're running lately with the poor man's Liv Tyler.
I don't know what commercials.
All those commercials, the T-Mobile commercials with the girl who looks like Liv Tyler, but they like couldn't get Liv Tyler, so they hired this other girl instead.
I don't know it.
You've never seen this girl? They're set up exactly like the Mac and Windows commercials with her standing there and then somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And she keeps talking about 4G, 4G, 4G. They don't have 4G.
Yeah.
T-Mobile does not have 4G service.
You sure that's a T-Mobile commercial?
Positive.
Then
absolutely
why would they
positive.
Do that if, why would they spend?
Because 4G is not a particular technology. It's a reference to the fourth generation of stuff. So what they're referring to as 4G is actually 3.5G. It's like just faster 3G, basically.
Right.
You know, so now there's all these people going to T-Mobile thinking they're getting 4G service when they don't even actually have it.
Right.
You know, it's just like the iPhone 4. You know how many iPhone 4 people think they have a 4G phone just because it's called the iPhone 4? Lots.
I don't know of any.
Brendan? Yep. See, even Brendan says so.
Yeah. I never.
But you knew
that.
Someone, right, Brendan?
Yeah.
Who was talking about they had... Oh, Amy's aunt. She goes, yeah, I got the 4G iPhone. And Amy had no idea what she was talking about, but you know, I was like, I wanted to call her aunt back and say, no, you don't.
Because it's Amy's e-phone, so she didn't
right,
really
e-phone,
know
she listens
to
our iCast on the right. on the Bluetoons. Whatever. She has no idea. I've even gotten lost since then. She just can't keep it all straight. It's ridiculous. While Samsung recently said that glasses-free 3D TV could be in stores in as few as 3 years, they've now recanted that, stating that it would likely be more than 10 years before that could happen, taking into consideration research and development, infrastructure, broadcasting, and, of course, economics of scale.
And 3D will be dead by then anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing that bums me out about all that stuff, is that everything I've read says that if you buy a 3D TV, your normal 2D picture is way better than if you just buy a regular 2D TV. Because of the way the 3D works and the enhancements that were made to those panels, that the 2D actually looks a lot better. Which is kind of a drag because I don't want to...
2D TVs with that same technology.
No, that's what I'm saying is that the technology is different enough in the 3D ones that it's actually better for watching regular TV. And I don't want to spend the money because I know within the next couple of years I'm going to get a new TV. And, right. I
have to tell you, my new TV I could not be happier with.
What'd you get?
I love it. It's a Samsung LED.
But which series? 6, 7, 8, 9?
I don't know that.
Kind of important. They got like 500 models.
Well, it's on the back of the TV, so.
Yeah, find out. Because I'd be curious to know. Now, did you get the new kind that has the like super thin bezel? Where it's only like a quarter of an inch?
Yeah.
And it's got like 4 feet instead of the oval stand. The feet, it's like two Vs kind of back to back like that.
I don't remember.
Kind of silver.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
No, you know what? It's got
a round.
It's got a round.
Okay, so you probably have the previous generation.
Maybe. Then.
When did you get it?
December, January.
I don't know. Maybe you do have the new one. I don't know. Is it edge lit or local dimming? Do you know what I just said?
Yes, I want to say it's edge lit.
Okay. Yeah. Find out which one it is.
Okay.
Be curious. The Samsung Galaxy Tab, speaking of Samsung, has just had its pricing updated to be exactly the same as that of the iPad. It runs, of course, Android, and it's $499 for a Wi-Fi version with 16 gigs and $599 for the Wi-Fi only with 32 gigs. So that was probably a smart move on their part. I cannot really figure out why the Android tablets have been more than the iPad since, I mean, like it or don't like it, you can't really deny that the iPad has a much better ecosystem in general than pretty much anything. You know what I mean? In terms of how easy it is to find and get and install apps and all that kind of stuff. I find that to be a lot easier on the Apple products than on the Android ones.
Yes. I would imagine that Apple's probably willing to take kind of a loss on the iPad, judging by how much they make.
Off the store?
Off the store.
Yeah. It's probably. Probably.
And the damn like cases and accessories. I mean,
come on. That is just ridiculous. They must make so much off of the licensing for all that stuff. Yeah. The fact that you can't really get an iPhone case for less than like $30 is pathetic. The thing costs like cents, pence, pennies to make.
Pence.
Well, yeah, if you're in England, it costs several pence. Microsoft took down the Rustock botnet, and with it has disappeared about 39% of global spam. That's insane. Wow. One botnet got rid of almost 40% of global spam.
Why don't they get rid of all the botnets?
By the way, thank you, Microsoft, for that. You know what's funny is I did notice spam go way down within the last few weeks, and I didn't even really think about why. But then all of a sudden today, I got a ton more again. Yeah. So I don't know if maybe RustNet, RustBot, whatever.
Well, that rich prince in Nigeria needs your help.
He does. Yeah. He does need my help. But I'm getting a few inches out of the deal, so you know what I'm saying. ICANN, which is the agency that decides how domain names work, has approved the .xxx extension, which means that if all goes according to plan, it'll be vastly easier to filter out adult-oriented domains from homes with kids, workplaces, and any other networks that would rather not have or allow access to such material. But the question is, are they going to force adult-oriented websites to use those domains? Because, see, there's always, whenever they introduce a new TLD, top-level domain, or as they said in this thing, extension, there's always like sort of a land grab where people like rush into, you know, so if you have, you know, bigboobs.com, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get bigboobs.xxx.
Right.
And so if they have to
Why would you just keep bigboobs.com?
Right. And then what's the point of the whole thing?
Right.
So, I mean, I personally think they should force them to all move over there.
Right.
Because But they should also do it in such a way that if you already own a .com as of a certain
date,
that you automatically are entitled to that one if you want it. Like you have right of first refusal. Because they should just all move over there. That way you can just filter it out. Right. I mean, you know, the only people who would possibly complain about this are people who are trying to get to porn that shouldn't be.
Right.
And they have no rights to complain because whatever situation they're in, they shouldn't be getting porn. Anyone else can just go to the domain. You know what I mean?
Now, does that mean then that once they move over bigboobs.com to bigboobs.xxx, I can buy bigboobs.com?
If you would like to. What would you do with it? Just put a bunch of dumb guys that you know. Hey, why am I on here? What's up with that? Tony, I'm coming for you.
You know what? You've just created my next business venture.
I hope that makes you lots of money. Speaking of Samsung again,
Did you get all your news from the Samsung website?
I did. I just went to their PR pages. No, Samsung Series 9 laptop is thinner and lighter than a MacBook Air, as well as being faster with a Core i5 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, and 128 gig SSD. It's actually $350 more than the 13-inch MacBook Air, though. That is fairly similarly configured. Although I think the MacBook Air also has less RAM. I think it only has 2 gigs of RAM. If you want to buy a Porsche 918 Spyder, get ready to jump through some hoops. Only certain dealers will be able to sell the car, and you'll have to pony up $200,000 just to reserve it. 12 months before production on your particular car starts, you'll have to shell out another $200,000. And when your car is built, you'll have to pay the remaining $445,000 before your car is delivered. Yes, that's right. It'll cost you $845,000 all in advance.
Wow.
That's a lot of clams. Pepsi has announced...
What if you don't like the handling?
learn to like it. Pepsi has announced that they'll soon be switching to a new bottle made entirely from vegetable material and that it will look and feel exactly like the current plastic ones. The first test batch will be made using pine bark, corn husks, and switchgrass. In the future, they hope to use byproducts of other Pepsi businesses such as orange peels, oat hulls, and potato scraps. Coke currently has a 30% vegetable material bottle, but says that 100% version is still a few years away. I think that is so cool.
In the meantime, Diet Coke has replaced Pepsi as the number two selling soda.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So Diet Coke now outsells regular Pepsi.
Yes.
Wow. That's interesting. But don't you think that's really cool that they're all these people are figuring out how to take all these what would normally be just waste products sitting around rotting somewhere and turning them into stuff that not only, you know, is using something that would have been just waste before, but is preventing the use of more plastics and petroleum-based products and everything. I think that's very cool.
I'd like them to make one where you can eat the bottle.
That was actually the joke in the article that I read. Can you just eat the bottle when you're done?
Right.
I would guess that you might be able to. I don't know.
Not want to?
There might be some kind of other wacky bonding.
Ooh, I just had some oat hull that's not agreeing with me.
Dude, man, Pepsi bottle farts are the worst. NASA will soon be testing out the Vasimir VF-200 plasma thruster in Earth orbit. If it works well, it could mean a trip to...
You just sounded like Marvin the Martian.
Thank you.
NASA will soon be testing out the Vasimir VF-200 plasma thruster.
Is that better?
Yeah.
If it works well, it could mean a trip to Mars in only 40 days instead of 6 months. It'll also take us one step closer to having real-life TIE fighters. Because, you know, it shoots ionized plasma. Out of its thrusters, and TIE stands for twin ion engine.
Yes.
Okay. Didn't know if anyone knew that. The Zune is dead. No more Zune products will be made.
Oh, they were still making the Zune?
Wah, wah. Motorola has pilfered engineers from both Apple and...
Wait, can I just say something?
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? Whenever they talk about like the dying or the death of Zune, they keep showing on Gizmodo the picture of the guy that had
with
the Zune logo tattooed on him.
And
so funny.
He's such a beast of a man. Motorola has pilfered engineers from both Apple and Adobe recently, and the rumor mill suggests that it's to develop their own mobile platform, although it's unknown if it's for mobile phones, tablets, both, or something else altogether. At this phase of the game, that almost seems like a waste of time.
Yeah.
I mean, unless, like, you just had some crazy brainstorm and you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to totally... Again, it's what we've talked about before.
Hasn't Motorola always been steps behind, though?
Yes. In terms of operating system.
Right.
Hardware, they're always pretty much ahead of everyone.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could really compare that to Apple right now, but whatever. The point is that they've always lagged in software development. And, you know, it's like we were talking about before. It's got to be the overall experience. It can't just be how smooth does the screen scroll or how responsive is the right. touchscreen. It's got to be everything. How easy is it to use the entire product, not only the interface, the email app, the web browser, the contacts and all that. How easy is it to get new apps on the phone? How easy is it to find those apps? You know, it's like that's one of the things when I had the Evo for a couple of weeks. When I would go to look for an app, it was like a nightmare. Like there didn't seem to be any sorting or ranking or anything like that.
It would just list a bunch of apps?
It would just list stuff. And like the first 300 things were things that I would never in a million years want to download.
Weird.
Do you find that too with the default application, you know, the default app marketplace browser?
Android,
it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, Android's a double-edged sword because you have like so many apps, but it's just such an overload. You don't know what to
do. Right. What Brendan said was it's a double-edged sword because there's so much stuff there, but you have no way of knowing what's good and what's bad and all that kind of stuff. And there was a site that he told me about that I can't remember the name of right now that would let you go through the app store in a more organized way. But even when I went to that site, I found it wasn't as great as or easy as just going through the app store on right. my iPhone, iPad. But I don't know. If you're going to spend all the money to do it, make sure you do it right or just don't even bother. That's what I'm thinking. A company called Parker Brothers Choppers has made a giant green machine chopper complete with right and left sticks used for rear wheel steering. Remember the green machine?
Yeah.
Green machine was like, when everyone had a big wheel, everyone who ever wanted a big wheel finally got one, and everyone thought they were cool because now they finally had the big wheel, then all of a sudden they come out with the green machine, and the whole world was turned upside down.
I was still bouncing on that big bouncy ball. What was that thing called, remember?
There's so many jokes I could make right
remember
now.
Remember the big ball with the handle?
Yeah, hippity hop.
Hippity hop.
Yeah.
Yes.
And remember the sit and spin? Also a good time. Wow, those toy company people, they were layering their products with so many innuendos, weren't they? Okay, so after they bounce on the big ball, let's have them sit and spin. but the green machine, if you remember, you had two stalks right. that, you know, right and left that you would move kind of like for almost like, you know, tank-like steering, but it didn't move the front wheel. It moved the rear wheels, either left or right. And it was like sort of a, you know, real sleek kind of chopper design. So right. they made an actual motorcycle with that same design, but a huge scale. And you actually steer that way on it, which is pretty cool. It's not for sale. It was just a one-off thing, but it still is really
cool. It's a waste of time.
Nope. It's very cool. Finally, if this little blue marble of ours has got you feeling lonely, IO9 has posted a message on how to send a message out into space. Of course, there's no guarantee that you'll hear back from anybody, but it's probably better than stalking people on Facebook and Twitter.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's not.
I think it probably
not at all.
Is. And you would obviously know this from experience.
Not saying nothing.
But that arrest warrant and the restraining order are both completely
not
fictitious.
Important.
Exactly. So, as always, this brings us to the time of the program when we reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Please, Tony, please give us your worst.
Easily the Adjustment Bureau.
Really?
What a letdown.
Wow.
Because I don't know if you remember, episodes ago, my best entertainment moment of the week was the trailer for The Adjustment Bureau.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
You were really looking forward
yeah.
to it.
And it really sucked.
Yeah. Sorry.
So,
my worst entertainment moment of the week came yesterday when I went next door to the Verizon store to get a Thunderbolt and was told that I was going to get it through my company and was told that I needed to leave a security deposit of $125 for a year. And I'm like, what's that for? He's like, well, your company's credit was red flagged. I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, I've been in business for 13 years almost. I don't have any loans or anything like that. Apparently, when you don't have tons of debt and tons of outstanding loans, your credit is as bad as if you have them and have defaulted on them.
So it's having no credit. It's the same as a person who has no credit.
Yeah, sort of. But when the business has been around and has monthly payments to like a million right. different companies, they should be able to differentiate between
right.
that. I mean, you know, I make monthly payments to probably a dozen different places, you know, that are all on time, have never not been paid. But for some reason, that doesn't count.
So
very annoying.
So you did not get the Thunderbolt.
I did not get the Thunderbolt. So I'm going to have to.
Well, you know, I'm proud of you for standing by your principle.
I did, but I'm going to go back today and get it in my own name at a different store.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
To save myself some embarrassment. So,
what is this Thunderbolt and what makes it?
The Thunderbolt is pretty much the same phone as the Evo, but supposedly...
The phone that you didn't like that you returned?
Well, the reason I didn't like it, two reasons. One was that I could not get the 4G to work.
Okay.
Except for one time. And the other reason was that I knew the Thunderbolt was coming out, and it's the same phone for the same price with like three or four times the amount of memory and a faster processor. So it was kind of a no-brainer.
But then you're going back to, like, you don't like the App Store and the other things you don't like.
Well, but I want to see if I can, using some of the other replacements. Like, I didn't know that, for instance, I guess I didn't realize that on Android you can replace the core apps for things. So, like, I didn't really like the way that the text messaging app worked, but I didn't realize you could replace that. So, like, you can get a text messaging app that replaces that works, you know, a lot like the iPhone one. Huh. So you can replace the parts that you don't like with other things.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And supposedly Verizon's LTE network has much better saturation than Sprint's, you know, whatever.
SWV.
Thank you. You just made that up, but that's fine. So what about your best entertainment moment of the week?
Okay, we waited till the end to talk about this.
Yes, we did.
Not only my best entertainment moment of the week, but one of my best entertainment moments of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's saying something.
And I'm speaking of the season finale, hopefully not the series finale,
right,
of V.
It was amazing.
Absolutely one of the best episodes of television I've
ever
seen.
It was almost unbelievable what they did in this episode.
I was watching this by myself, but screaming out loud at some of the things.
Did you just keep saying, oh my God?
Oh my God. I did.
So
amazing.
We can talk about it, right? I mean, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't even know where to start. Well, you know, we missed an episode because I think I mentioned this before. We never saw the episode where Erica and what's his name, Hobbs, got together.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even know what happened on that episode other than that
they got
together.
Yeah.
Right. Why don't you start? Because I don't even know where to start. There's so much.
Well, you know
what?
I mean, we won't spend a lot of time on it. We'll just talk about the parts that made it like amazing. You know, their whole plan—they were using Lisa to try and kill
Anna,
right? And so they pretended that she was being taken hostage, that she's being held hostage
by the fifth column,
and that if Anna turned herself in, they would release Lisa in exchange for Anna.
Right.
So Anna goes to this like warehouse,
but that's not really what their plan was. Their plan was that she was going to go. They would fake the kidnapping of Lisa.
Right. Oh well, yeah. I was getting that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we'll say that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The public.
Right.
The public explanation was that the fifth column would release Lisa if Anna. Okay. Right.
But what I was going to say was the actual plan was that when Anna got there, Lisa was to shoot Anna.
Right. And kill her dead. Her own mom.
Right.
Which whoever thought up this plan, maybe next time, don't ask some kid to kill their parent.
But Anna always had an idea that Lisa had already taken on a lot of human emotion.
Right.
So she acted like she was going through with it, trying to look like, you know, she was the great mother.
Well, hang on. Before you go there, let's not forget to mention that Lisa was not really comfortable with this plan until she saw her mom hugging Amy and, like, comforting her and everything, because she knows her mom is suspicious of her.
Right.
About the human emotions. And now she sees her mom displaying human emotions when nobody else is around for a kid that's not even really her kid.
Right.
And so that's what kind of pushed her over the edge to agree to kill her mom, was because she knew that everything she was doing was wrong. And she's kind of betraying her because she's always been so cold and mean to her. And yet she's being very loving and caring to this hybrid baby who's not even related to
her. So when Anna goes there to release Lisa, Lisa goes to get the gun, and Anna starts to feed her all this, like, emotional
because
stuff.
She sees a reflection that she's got a gun.
Right. She sees that Lisa's about to shoot her. So
in the back.
She gives her this whole speech about how much she loves her, and she's learned emotion, and, like, you know.
And it can be used to our advantage, and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and everything's going to change.
Right.
And so Lisa decides not to shoot her. They take Lisa.
Right.
And the other people from the fifth column who are on the ship think that, you know, Anna's going to die here. So they release Diana.
Right. who's giving a speech to the masses in
because
the big
now
auditorium.
She's going back to being the queen
right,
again.
She's going back to being the queen.
So while she's giving this speech, all of a sudden she's impaled through her back with the tail of Anna.
Right.
And lifted and killed.
Right. So Anna kills Diana in Who front is her of mother. Everybody. In front of everybody.
Right.
And then.
And then turns to Lisa, who is about to be thrown in prison, tells her, that's how you kill your mother.
Yeah, it was
best
so
line ever.
It was so awesome. And the look on, and I will say what's great about Lisa is, you know, at the beginning of the series, I did not like her. She's very cold. She's very stiff, you know, and, you know, you've really seen her really become more human as the show has gone on. And they did, I have to say, they did a really great job, like with her makeup and everything, making her look a little bit like more disheveled and unkempt right. and like kind of on the verge.
Right.
And in that scene, the look of terror on her face when she realizes that not only did her mom lie to her, but that she knows that she was trying to kill her because now she knows she's completely screwed was fantastic.
Right.
So meanwhile, Ryan, after all this is going on, is using this opportunity of everyone being busy with all this other stuff that's happening to go get Amy, his daughter, to rescue her. And she, the daughter, starts yelling at him saying that, you know, he abandoned her and Anna's her new mom now. Yeah. And, you know, that he shouldn't try to take her away from Anna. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? Anna's twisting the truth. And so all of a sudden Amy's tail comes out and she wraps it around Ryan's neck and breaks his neck and kills him.
Yeah.
Her own dad.
Awesome. And then,
as if that wasn't enough,
Anna has had a baby new, kind of incubating.
Right, a new queen egg.
And, you know, it just so happens that it's time.
And it's the first time we ever see an alien in full figure without skin.
Right.
And they're kind of creepy looking, and I wasn't totally crazy.
You didn't like the waist.
No, I didn't like the waist.
Yeah.
There was not enough room for, like, organs and veins to get through.
But then when it's time to skin her, she decides to make another Lisa.
Right, and she, like, didn't she have total crazy eyes when she's saying it? She's like, put skin on my new child. Make her look exactly like Lisa. It's like
so while the
evil.
Real Lisa is in the prison that Diana was once in,
right?
The new Lisa, who's, like, the evil Anna's...
Right, the evil twin.
Right. Now it's time for her to mate with Tyler.
Right. Dumbest man in the universe.
Yes.
In the known universe. If you ask the V's, who's the dumbest guy you've ever met? Everyone says Tyler.
And... right after mating with Tyler, she kills him.
She opens her big mouth full of big teeth, and she bites a chunk out of his neck
and
kills him. And of course, Erica doesn't know any of this is going on. And Erica has actually just, right before this, has just spilled the beans to Tyler and finally come clean with him about everything that's going on with the V's. And he was actually on his way to try to verify some of that when fake Lisa seduces him. And does
and
a little alien, you know, tango, you know,
horizontal
little alien mambo.
And then how it ends, let's just finish this.
Okay. So meanwhile, Hobbs disappeared. So where's Hobbs?
Yeah.
Okay. Hobbs disappeared.
Looking for Calvin.
And you know how Erica's boss and her former partner from the FBI, you know how they've kind of been suspicious of her maybe working with the Fifth Column for a while now? They kind of been following her around, kind of been not so keen on her involvement with the Fifth Column. And any day now, you know, she's probably going to get busted.
Uh-huh.
Well, she gets kidnapped and taken to a very dark place where out of the shadows emerges
Hercules.
Mark Singer.
Didn't he play Hercules?
The Beastmaster? I don't know.
Oh, no, that's the other one.
Yeah, I don't know. Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin Sorbo, yeah.
No, not Mark Singer.
No.
So Mark Singer from the original V miniseries comes out and introduces himself as the leader of Project Ares, which is an intergovernmental agency that has been aware of the V's nefarious, you know, intent and has created a whole...
Do you think anyone's still listening?
Sure. And has created a whole network across the globe, including secret underground lairs.
Underground lairs!
Where Erica now is, and then she's introduced to the next two top guys in Project Ares, who are her FBI boss and her ex-partner. Right.
So
they
the
were trying
time,
to take her down.
Right.
They were trying to see if they could trust her to bring her on board.
That's right.
Okay, so the last thing that happens is Anna decides, because she's got the crazy going on in her head now at this point. She wants the human soul. She wants to destroy it. She doesn't quite get it, right? So she's trying to bliss everybody through her spaceship, you know, technology. And it's not working. She's bleeding out the eyes. It's all going south. And then Amy walks in. She's like, here, mommy, let me do it. And so now you find out the little hybrid baby Amy can bliss humans. And she blisses everyone on the whole planet. including the priest, Father Jack.
Including the priest.
Including Father Jack, who is now mesmerized by the Vs. Not good. So basically, they've killed off two-thirds of the cast, and the rest of the story has completely done a 180.
Bad, bad to good.
It's all gone completely crazy. It was insanely cool. So
now, I hope
you cannot wait for
back.
The next season. Can
I hope
you?
To God it comes back.
Yeah. Whenever the writers and producers think they're going out, they go crazy. Because yeah. I'm telling you right now, SGU has also been fantastic ever since it got canceled. The same episode that week was probably even better than the episode of V. It was so good. This last week's actually was a little slow for me.
Yeah.
But last week's episode was fantastic. So I would have to agree that V was right up there as one of the best entertainment moments of the last couple weeks and of a long time.
Yeah.
I will also say there was this one scene in Chuck that made me laugh so hard. There was a scene
You're
where...
You're going to say the scene from Chuck is going to top V.
Well, I'm just saying it's right up there for me because I laughed so hard at this.
But you know there's only one best.
I understand. But I'm just saying this is also other best.
Weren't you just quoting Kipper?
Yeah,
too long
that was at lunch. Nobody heard that except you. So there was this great scene where... You know, Morgan is dating Casey's daughter
this
now.
This would better be worth it.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, Chuck and Sarah are engaged. And Morgan lives with them. And so he's been feeling kind of like a third wheel lately. So, you know, Chuck is like, I gotta talk to Morgan. I gotta make him feel better about this. And Sarah's like, you know what? Let me do it. She's like, I mean, you know, Morgan and I never hang out except when you're around. And that's probably part of the problem. She goes, let me just spend some time with him. And, you know, hopefully we'll make him more comfortable. So she and Morgan are sitting on the couch at their apartment. And it's totally awkward because they don't know what to say to each other. And so all of a sudden, Sarah spots some of his Star Wars action figures on the mantle above the fireplace. And it's like the old 12-inch figures from the late 70s. Of Han Solo and Chewbacca. She goes, well, what about these? She goes, I know you like your toys. She goes, maybe we can play with these. And she picks them up and she takes Chewbacca and she starts going, rawr, and like attacking Han Solo. And Morgan like flips out and he like takes him away and is putting him back. And then he kind of like realizes, you know, he has a little bit of an epiphany that, you know, he's basically like their child living with them at their house and decides he's going to move out. But I'm telling you, the scene of when Sarah picks up the toys and she's attacking Han Solo with Chewbacca, one of the funniest things I have seen on TV in forever. If you saw the scene, you would laugh. But
that doesn't come close to
no,
that's
trust
how
me,
you kill your mother.
It was really funny. It was really
it's not
funny.
That's how you kill your mother?
It's not, but it's much more happier and pleasant and funny.
Okay.
Makes you laugh. It's not all about evil and negativity. I'm just saying.
All righty then.
You got anything else?
No.
All right. Well, thanks as always for listening if you made it this far. And and don't forget to send us messages through the old email.
I want people to post if anyone else is watching Being Human.
Okay.
I want to be able to like communicate with someone about it.
I still want to know if anyone has a good recommendation for a stylish cordless phone system that doesn't stink because I'm still unable to find one.
I'm not looking for a personal shopper.
I'll tell you what. I looked through VTech. I looked through Panasonic. I looked through Uniden. I looked through Motorola, and I looked through Siemens Gigaset. I got nothing so far. Not happy.
Okay, between your shameless plugs and your begging
request for personal shoppers,
right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I think we're done.
Okay, so don't forget to send email to podcast@pause.com and post on our Facebook page where you can like us and become a fan and all that good stuff. And as always, you can go onto iTunes and subscribe and leave a review and a rating, which we greatly appreciate. And other than that, thank you again, and we will see you next time.
Bye.